like most kids that at least that I've ever met, I, as a child, wanted to be an astronaut when I grew up. Well, more accurately, I wanted to be some kind of astronaut, pirate, ninja hybrid. But whatever. The point is that when I grew up, I wanted to go to space. I mean, I watched so much Star Wars, it wasn't even funny. I was convinced that going to space was my destiny. And why not, right? Space is awesome. And part of that is because it is so mysterious. Its vast emptiness allows our imaginations to run wild. And for a kid, that empty canvas means that space can be anything. It can be an empty void where we can be all alone if we want, or it can be filled with crazy alien species and space battles where we can be the hero. To borrow from another popular space franchise, space is this generation's frontier. And I find that comparison, the comparison between space and the Wild West frontier, to be interesting. You see, every generation of kid seems to find something, a place or scenario in which they can imagine themselves, a place of danger and unknown, where they can let their imaginations run wild. When I was a kid, my friends and I played space. Our imaginations took us to distant stars and planets, zipping through outer space in faster-than-light spaceships, shooting lasers at each other. But my grandfather grew up playing cowboys and Indians, imagining that frontier. Instead of zipping from star to star, his imagination took him on horseback, galloping from canyon to canyon, arrows and bullets whizzing by as the noble sheriff had it out at high noon with the bad guy in the black cowboy hat. Other kids grew up looking at the vast oceans, imagining sailing the high seas on the crew of Blackbeard, the mighty pirate, exchanging cannon fire with the British Navy, flying the skull and crossbones flag, getting into sword fights, all the while cracking one-liners with their talking parrot. We have entire industries devoted to this type of imagination. Everything from books to movies feed this fantasy. One of the most recent movies starred a walking tree and a wisecracking, gun-toting raccoon. And grown adults pay to see that fantasy played out on the big screen. And that's all well and good. Quite frankly, I am one of those grown adults that pays money to see that. And yet I find it curious that this notion of fantasy is so prevalent in human beings. And while a large part of it is certainly as simple as the fact that we like to be entertained, I am also convinced that a part of it comes down to escapism. Kids especially have little to no control over their lives. They are told where they have to go, what they have to do, when and what they are to eat, when they are to go to bed, a constant battle at my house. Sit still, don't touch that, leave your brother alone, get your finger out of your nose. At the end of the day, kids have very little control over their life, and so they turn to these types of fantasies as a way of escaping that. And I think that that is why their fantasies are so focused on the edges of reality, the frontiers, if you will. I don't think that it is a coincidence that as a kid, my friends and I would imagine going to Mars. After all, there aren't any parents or teachers on Mars to tell us what to do. On Mars, we are masters of our own destiny. Han Solo and Luke Skywalker don't have bedtimes. As sheriff of the Wild West, we get to make the rules. We get to decide when we ride off into the sunset. Blackbeard's ship can take us wherever we want to go, and nobody can tell us any different. And quite frankly, That still sounds pretty appealing, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes I still think about heading off into space where I could do whatever I wanted. And this is especially true when times get tough, isn't it? When finances are tough or work is hard, that's when we start to think like this. Boy, it would be nice if we could simply be masters of our own destiny, leaving the cares of this world behind. And that's what Jesus is talking about in our gospel passage. This passage comes near the end of the Gospel of John, and it is one of Jesus' final prayers for his followers. What we read today is the middle section of the prayer. And what all of that means is that this is pretty much a summary of Jesus' final hopes for his followers. This prayer represents some of the last things that he asks his Father to provide for his followers before he goes to his death, resurrection, and ascension. And it also reveals to us his hopes for how they will act after he has ascended into heaven. And he makes basically two points. First, he asks his Father to protect his followers, especially from the work of the evil one. And second, he asks his Father to sanctify them, or to make them holy in his truth. And interwoven into both of these requests is the statement that Jesus' followers are not a part of this world. In verse 9, he says that he is making these requests on behalf of his followers, not on behalf of the whole world, but only on behalf of those that follow him. And then again in verse 14, he says that the world has hated his followers because they do not belong to the world, just like Jesus does not belong to the world. And at first, I find great comfort in this. We are not of this world, you know? It drives me crazy sometimes. I have talked to you before about the increased secularization of the world, how Christianity seems to be under attack, and oddly enough, it's not the bullets or open hostility that I find most concerning, but rather the apathy. Christianity is under attack from a world that simply doesn't care about Christianity anymore. But at first, this seems to offer me some comfort. Jesus himself says it, right? We are not of this world because, after all, the world hates us. And if the world hates us anyway, then we might as well retreat from it. This has always been the temptation of Christianity. Like a child retreating into an imaginary fantasy land of lasers or pirates, Christians have often wanted to separate themselves from this world. And that's natural. It's a defensive measure. When a child doesn't have any control over their life, they retreat into a fantasy world where they do have control. And Christians, for millennia, have been tempted by this same idea. When they cannot control the things around them, when they feel like the entire world is opposed to them or their values, they retreat. They hole up. They gather into a community and barricade the door, separating themselves and their space where they have control from the outside world, which is too often unwilling to listen to the truth of the gospel. And at first, this is almost what it looks like Jesus is telling us to do. After all, he prays for our protection from a world that is hostile. He prays for our protection from evil forces at work. He acknowledges that we are not a part of this world. And the next logical step seems like it is going to be a command for us to simply stay away from those forces. Stay away from the world that you are not a part of. Stay away from a world that hates you. Be sanctified in the truth of the Son of God, but keep that truth for yourselves because the world will never accept you. That seems to be where Jesus was going to go in his prayer, but it is not. Instead, he ends this section of the prayer by saying to the Father, "As you have sent me into this world, so I have sent them into the world. As the Son of God became part of the world in order to save it, so he sends us into the world." And that begins to shed new light on the entire prayer. All the way back at the beginning of this section of the prayer, we hear Jesus pray these words, "I have made your name known to those whom you have given to me from the world." And we get distracted by the bit at the beginning of that quote, the bit about how Jesus has made the name of God known to us. That's the part that makes us Christians. That's the part that makes us not a part of this world. But it is the end of that sentence that is the most interesting. Jesus' followers are those whom God the Father gave to Jesus from the world. Before God's truth was revealed to us, our ultimate origins were from this world that we are now no longer a part of. That world that hates Christianity, that world that we sometimes want to simply give up on and leave to its own devices, that is where we came from, and it is to that world that we are ultimately sent to, just as Jesus was first sent. And this sheds new light on what Jesus says when he asks for protection for us. He prays, "Holy Father, protect them in your name so that they may be one as we are one." Jesus prays for unity. He prays that we can present a united front, that we can love each other in the same way that God the Father and God the Son love each other. Folks, sometimes I get so frustrated at the world's attitude, no, their apathy toward God, that I just want to climb into my metaphorical spaceship and fly away. Leave them to their own devices. They don't want God, fine. Let them live without Him. And I don't think that I am alone in that. It's hard to reach out into this world. One commentator uses this metaphor. It is easy for Christians to try to present a small target. We get beat up on by the world enough as it is, and so it is natural for us to try to minimize that by only showing a small part of who we are to the world. But instead, this commentator says, that we need to invite the world to hate us. And what I think that he meant by that was that we don't need to hide. We don't need to blast off in our spaceships or head to the docks to join up with Blackbeard. The fear of being hated by the world should not deter us from showing our true colors. After all, we used to be part of that world. And it is to that world that Jesus has sent us. We need to stand up for what we know to be right. We need to present a unified Christian front to an all too hostile world. We have a mission to retrieve lost sheep. This last Thursday, we celebrated Jesus' ascension, and in many ways, that holiday marks the shift from Jesus' work on earth to our work as His body, the body of Christ on earth. Next week is Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is given to us as a guide, teaching us how to do that work. Are we ready to do that? Are we heading to the spaceship ready to hide from the world that Jesus has sent us to? Or are we ready to follow the Holy Spirit's instructions on how we can witness to the world, even and especially when it hates us? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.